And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let us pray. We thank thee, Holy Father, for the good news that thou hast done for us what we could never do for ourselves, in providing us Savior to save us from our sins and open the kingdom of heaven to us through faith alone in him. We pray now that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts. May it bring honor and glory to thee and edification to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The season of Advent has begun, so I'm going to be preaching an Advent series, taking a hiatus from St. John for the duration of Advent. The account in Genesis 3 today contains the first promise of Christ's Advent, that though sin entered the world and death by sin, God would send a Savior. Verse 15 is called in Latin the Proto Evangelion, which means the first gospel, first announcement of the salvation that God would provide through Christ. Now let's begin with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. It has been suggested that this serpent is just a vision or an apparition. But we see from the whole context of the chapter, this is literally a snake. Because on thy belly shalt thou go, and eat dust all the days of thy life, and thou art cursed above all the beasts of the field. So obviously this was a beast of the field, a beast that Satan used as his instrument. Years ago, when I was in Spain, I was at a church, and there was a man, I think he was from Sweden, very liberal. I don't even know why he went to church. He didn't believe anything. And he said, this is all like a fairy tale. He said, how could this woman not be terrified of a snake? And how could she not be shocked that the snake is talking? Well, she can't be afraid of the snake because there's no fear in paradise. There wasn't any violence yet. There wasn't any enmity between the animals and people. And she didn't know whether this animal could talk or not. It didn't surprise her. She's new to all this. She doesn't know what animals can and cannot do. If God could open Balaam's donkey and speak, then the devil could speak through this serpent. Now notice how subtly the devil begins. He doesn't deny anything the Lord has said. He doesn't begin with an argument. He just wants to have a friendly conversation. Just asks a question. You know, but once you start to listen to the devil, real trouble is ahead. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So this Eve makes quite clear that she understood the divine prohibition. She can quote it. If she eats of this tree, she'll die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Luther said, As God had preached to Adam, so Satan now also preaches to Eve. The object of Satan was to draw away Eve by his word from that which God had said. Two competing words, God's word and the devil's word. Still the same today. You know how to identify the devil's word? Always contradicts God's word. Usually the very opposite of God's word. That's true no matter what human serpent the devil uses to speak through. So first the devil says, God's a liar. He said you'd die, but it's not true. His word isn't true. Furthermore, his motives are nefarious. He's not worried about your dying. He's worrying about his honor because he doesn't want you to be a competitor, to be his gods. He's simply jealous of his honor, not for your well-being. The fruit will make you know good and evil. And that was true, but not in the way he intimated. Before they were before they knew good and evil by knowing God's commandment, now they're going to know good and evil by becoming evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. This is the big mistake that always precedes a fall. Put God's word aside, and I can just reason myself. With my own reason, I can figure out what to do, and I can put God's word aside. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Well, before, they had always welcomed the presence of the Lord. But now that they're guilty, they want nothing to do with him. They hide themselves from him. That's what the religions of the world do. They're a substitute for the truth. They're a way of hiding from the true God. The only persons who truly seek the Lord are the elect whom the Father is drawing to Christ. God knows where Adam is and what he's done, but to elicit a confession, he first calls him to come forward. Where art thou? Never read this without remembering years ago when I was in California. I had a pastor who said he was a Dutchman. He once had a German lady in the church, an old lady. And she told him one day that God speaks German. And he said, What do you mean by that? And she opened her Bible at Genesis 3 and it said, Look, wo bist du? Where are you? God is speaking German. Of course, it's a German Bible, so anyway, doesn't have much to do with this sermon, but and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Now comes the excuses. He doesn't say, I was afraid because I sinned against you. I was afraid because I heard your voice. And I was afraid because I had insufficient clothing. He says nothing about his sin. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. God mentions his commandment. Is that what you did? You broke that commandment? Because he's trying to elicit a confession because he wants to save Adam. And he does bring Adam to a confession, but not a very good one. Reversing the natural order, first he gives his excuse and then his little confession. I did eat. Three words. But first the excuse. It's the woman that you gave to me. Blaming the gift and the giver as a source of his transgression. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Since Adam had mentioned Eve, God now turns to her for her confession. What is this that thou hast done? Calvin said that gist of this is, how could you do this? Eve makes no mention of her having tempted Adam, and like her husband, she's a blame shifter. Well, the serpent beguiled me. But then comes her little three-word confession, I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Unlike Adam and Eve, God doesn't interrogate Satan, because he's offering no hope of pardon to him. He's already under God's judgment. He curses, the Lord does, both the literal snakes of the world and Satan for bringing this temptation. You know, God can bless or curse his creatures to suit his own plans. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. He cursed the ground because of sin, thorns and thistles. He cursed the fig tree, showing he was through with national Israel. He cursed the serpent as a symbol of his hatred for sin and of the nature of the devil. The snakes now having to crawl on the ground implies that before it did not, like so many other animals that had arms and legs. You know, even lizards do. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Lord will put enmity between the woman's seed and the devil's seed. The woman's seed is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3. The seed is Christ. The devil's seed are the reprobate, those whom God has passed over and not chosen for salvation, in whom the prince of the power of the air now works, those of whom Jesus said, don't say Abraham's your father, the devil is your father. That's the seed of the serpent. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It, one specific individual. Jerome mistranslated this as she, making it the Virgin Mary. And this is what Roman Catholics believe today. But it is a mistranslation. In the Hebrew, the word is it, and in the Greek, Old Testament, it's autos, which means he. And if there be any further doubt, the verse goes on to say, thou shalt bruise what? His heel. So it's perfectly clear, this is one individual, and the individual is a man. So he's talking about a contest between Satan and a man of the human race. This man, Jesus Christ, will crush the serpent's head. He will utterly destroy him. But in this conflict, the devil will be destroyed, but the man will be wounded, yet not fatally, because he will rise from the dead. Bruised heel, crushed head. You know, if you want to kill a snake, you have to crush his head. You can chop a snake in half, he can still strike and kill you. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now with the curse, pain has entered the world, and also harmony is disrupted. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, I was always happy when my wife's desire was to me. But that's not the desire this text is talking about. It says your desire will be to rule your husband, but your husband must rule you. The very next chapter, chapter 4, we have a parallel text. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So sin desires to rule over us, but we must rule over it. In the fallen world, many women desire to rule over their husbands, and many husbands are happy to do it, have it that way. You know, I rode a motorcycle, and I don't know how many times men told me, oh, I'd love to have a motorcycle, but my wife would never let me. Your wife wouldn't let you? It's common. These were Christian men. And I know that this is the rest of the gospel here. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This is the first death in the world. God kills an animal to make leather clothes for Adam and Eve, foreshadowing how the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head by his own death, and through that death clothe us in his righteousness, covering all our sins. So at the beginning of the world, sin entered, but so did the gospel. There'll be a child of the woman, seed of the woman, a very unusual expression. Not the seed of a man, the seed of a woman. And no man is mentioned. The seed of a virgin will bring forth a man who will crush Satan's head. He'll be wounded in the process, but not destroyed. And by his death, he will provide a covering for all of our sins. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are amazed at thy love and kindness. It was pure grace and love that caused thee to make salvation's plan for people who guiltily and voluntarily turned away from the divine commandment and turned away from God. And that we who have gone astray, thou hast brought us back. We thank thee for it. May these words comfort our hearts, and may they move us to further love and dedication to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.